Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Dry conditions mean Idaho fire season likely to be a tough one. Latah County Treasurer BJ Swanson wants transparency on jail conditions issue as Latah County Sheriff says starting in October, people arrested in Latah County will go to the Nez Perce County Jail in Lewiston. Pullman City Council approves capital improvement program through 2031 that includes new fire station, new police station, and library expansion, and 8 apply for Latah County Magistrate Judge position. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And you're listening to KRFP Moscow Pullman and live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho. I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Latah County Treasurer BJ Swanson told commissioners yesterday they should pause Sheriff Richie Skiles' plans for sending all people arrested in Latah County to the Nez Perce County Jail in Lewiston until there can be a public meeting on the issue. Earlier this month, Sheriff Skiles announced beginning in October, the 53-year-old Latah County Jail would only be used as a court holding facility during the daytime hours because the jail is no longer in compliance with jail standards. Skiles said the cost of modernizing the jail's fire suppression, plumbing, electrical, and camera systems could be $13 million, and it would only add 5 to 10 years to the jail's useful life. Swanson said there has only been limited public discussion of the plan, and a public meeting would allow county commissioners to give a full justification to citizens for the closure of the jail. She said the public meeting should include a cost analysis and long-term plans. She also said the recent decision by commissioners and the sheriff's department seems rushed and politically motivated. Swanson wrote on her Facebook page last week, "Why the sudden rush to close the Latah County Jail? The jail passed inspection as recently as 2024. By comparison, it's in better condition than many others in Idaho, including neighboring Benoit County. If there is a specific inspection report or insurance determination driving this closure, the public deserves to see it. Was the facility deemed unsafe or uninsurable? If so, let's see the documentation. This decision carries major long-term consequences. Once closed, our jail is likely gone for good. Building a new facility, let alone a full law enforcement center, could cost upwards of $40 million. That would mean an estimated $300 annual increase to the average homeowner's property tax bill. It's highly unlikely that voters would approve a $40 million bond requiring a two-thirds supermajority. There is also serious implications for public safety. Deputies are already stretched thin. If only 3 officers are on duty at night and one has to spend hours transporting a domestic violence suspect to Nez Perce County, what happens in the meantime? Will they simply issue a citation instead of making a critical arrest, allowing an emotionally charged violent offender to go free? This process feels rushed and politically motivated. The community deserves answers, transparency, and time to understand the full implications. Release the inspection and insurance reports and clearly explain why the jail is being closed. The public deserves nothing less." That was a Facebook post from Latah County Treasurer BJ Swanson. Commissioners Tony Johnson and Tom Lamar said there will be some details about the decision that cannot be discussed publicly because of safety and liability concerns. According to the Daily News, Johnson said there will be more information for the public in the near future. Moscow City Council members have said they are frustrated with how quickly the county decided to move forward in closing the current jail. Moscow City Administrator Bill Belknap wrote in a statement, "The Moscow Police Department arrests about 250 people each year." Belknap said the closure of the Latah County Jail will place significant financial and personnel stress on the Moscow Police Department at a time when it is struggling with staffing, as are many law enforcement agencies across the nation. The Pullman City Council last night accepted the city's capital improvement program, which is a plan for projects through 2031. The improvement program includes a plan to build a third fire station in the city on the Washington State University campus to reduce response times in the northeastern part of the city. Pullman voters approved a $10.5 million bond in 2018 to pay for the new fire station, which is expected to cost $11 million. City officials say construction will start in 2028. The capital improvement program also includes a plan for a new police station, in part because the current police station is facing annual maintenance expenses that in the future may exceed the cost of building a new police station. The Lewiston Tribune reports the police department has outgrown its current space, and the detective offices are now located in the old City Hall on Spring Street, so the entire police force has more space to work. The new police station would cost an estimated $10 million. The capital improvement program documents say the city may have to hold a bond election to finance the new police headquarters. The capital improvement program says the city needs to remodel Neal Public Library because the 30-year-old building has an outdated HVAC system, frequent roof leaks, limited storage space, and an increased demand for services. Since the last remodeling in 2004, the city's population has grown by 26%. The plan says the library remodel would cost $8.4 million, with about $7 million paying for construction and most of the rest paying for planning and design. The Washington Library Capital Improvement Program could supply a grant to help pay for the remodel, and construction could begin in 2028. Following a wet spring and headed into a dry summer, National Interagency Fire Center meteorologist Jim Wallman told the Idaho Board of Land Commissioners Tuesday this year's fire season will be busy and, quote, right now, things are not looking good. According to the Idaho Lands Department Fire Management Chief Josh Harvey, the department has so far this year responded to 89 fires covering over 300 acres, including the fully contained 250-acre Hatway fire near Lewiston and the 0% contained 151-acre Post fire near U.S. Highway 12 in the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest. Ample snowpack in southwestern Idaho may delay the fire season several weeks, but northern Idaho has dried up much more and much earlier than expected this year. Department forecasts predict increased risk of wildfires in July and a greatly increased risk in August. The Trump administration has complicated things with mass layoffs of federal employees earlier this year, which included many Forest Service employees. While some of those employees have been reinstated, many positions remain vacant, placing strains on joint state-federal firefighting efforts. The federal government manages two-thirds of the lands in Idaho. State Forester Julia Lauch reported staffing for complex incident management and Type 3 incident management are normal, but there is an overlap between the two teams, which will diminish both federal mid- to upper-level management support staff and procurement staff are operating at lower capacity, and interagency administrators will be less experienced when compared to last year. The Idaho Department of Lands hired 175 seasonal firefighters this year, up from 141 last year. 47% are new hires, which is down from 55% new hires last year. The Idaho legislature provided funding this year for improved lightning detection systems in high-risk areas and to increase the number of mountaintop fire detection cameras up to 15. Which is up from 9 last year. The Lands Department also plans to add a new helicopter to their air fleet, although they have not yet found experienced flight staff for it. The Second Judicial District Court has released the names of the 8 people who have applied to be the next Latah County Magistrate Judge. The Magistrates Commission of the Second Judicial District will choose some of the applicants to interview Monday, July 21st, and then appoint one of them to be the next magistrate judge. The interviews will be open to the public. The Magistrates Commission is made up of mayors, attorneys, and others. Governor Brad Little appointed Magistrate Judge Megan Marshall to the Latah County Second Judicial Branch last month to succeed retiring Latah County District Judge John Judge. That created the opening at the magistrate level. The eight applicants for the magistrate judge position are Moscow City Prosecutor Reed Brevig, Benoit County Chief Deputy Prosecutor Aaron Frudenthal, Moscow Attorney Sandra Lockett, Lewis County Prosecutor Zach Paul, Nez Perce County Senior Judicial Staff Attorney Kelly Porter, Nez Perce County Magistrate Judge Sunil Ramalingam, Idaho Public Defender's Office Trial Attorney Donald Terry of Sandpoint, and Moscow Attorney Aaron Tomlinson. The Idaho Supreme Court will be surveying attorneys about the appointment until Monday, June 30th. The Magistrates Commission of the Second Judicial District will take public comment on the appointment until Monday, July 7th. Comment forms are available at county courthouses or on the internet at the Second Judicial District Court website. Magistrate judges handle lower-level cases such as infractions, guardianships, misdemeanors, preliminary hearings for felonies, juvenile cases, civil cases with less than $10,000 in dispute, divorces, adoptions, termination of parental rights cases, among others. There are 101 magistrate judge positions in Idaho. Magistrate judges must be at least 30 years old, have at least 5 years' experience as a practicing lawyer, and currently have a license to practice in Idaho. After the Magistrates Commission appoints a new magistrate judge, they serve for 4 years, after which time the judges go on the ballot for a retention vote, which is a yes or no vote by the public on whether the magistrates should keep their jobs. District judges who preside over higher profile cases are up for election with possible opponents on the ballot every 4 years. You're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP, Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. Available online at loveskombucha.com.
For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
Advocates for homeownership in Oregon are celebrating a new bill that sets targets to boost the state's homeownership rate, which currently sits at 64%, just below the national average, but among the lowest in the country. The bill sets a goal of 65% by 2030, with incremental increases every 5 years until 2045. Habitat for Humanity Oregon's Shannon Villhauer says while the state also needs more rental housing, homeownership brings many long-term benefits, including better education outcomes for children.
We just don't want to lose sight of this important wealth building opportunity, stabilizing opportunity for all of our communities. As we prioritize production together, let's keep home ownership in the mix.
On the heels of the victory, Villhauer says she was shocked to hear that the current state budget nearly zeroes out funding for home ownership assistance programs, which does not set the state up well to begin meeting the new goal. She says Habitat will do everything it can to restore the funding. Villhauer adds, for most people living in Oregon and the United States today, home ownership is affordable housing.
If you were fortunate enough to buy your home in Oregon 20 years ago, your mortgage payment today is less than half of market rate rent for a two-bedroom apartment.
Brock Nation is with Oregon Realtors. He says results from a survey last year found about three-quarters of non-homeowners consider home ownership to be one of their highest life priorities.
But those numbers were even higher for communities of color, where we know there's about a 15.3% racial home ownership gap in the state of Oregon right now.
For communities of color, he says about 96% of people put home ownership at the top of their priority list. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
Most gray wolves in the U.S. are protected under the Federal Endangered Species Act, but not those in the Northern Rockies. A federal judge in Missoula hears arguments today over the validity of that exception. In the Northern Rockies, state wildlife agencies are in charge of managing wolf populations, even though the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service last year determined some state regulations are at odds with modern professional wildlife management. Eric Mulvar with Western Watersheds Project, one of 10 plaintiffs in the case, says gray wolves haven't gotten a fair shake under either the Biden or Trump administrations.
We're hoping that having the court step in and really dive into the best available science and the facts of the matter will help get the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service past its political impasse in blocking wolf protections.
According to its 2024 analysis, the federal agency says gray wolves are not at risk of extinction in the western United States now or in the foreseeable future. But Mulvar says wolf populations there are struggling and genetic diversity is taking a hit. The plaintiffs argue that human-caused wolf mortalities through legal practices, including hunting, trapping, baiting, and even hitting wolves with vehicles, were not adequately reviewed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in last year's decision. Mulvar adds the agency failed to use the best available science and population estimate methodologies.
We're hoping the judge will highlight the fact that the aggressive wolf killing policies are so extreme that they cannot be relied upon as a conservation framework for rare species like wolves.
He notes the presiding judge has decided wolf cases before, but says deliberations may take months. I'm Kathleen Shannon with Big Sky Connection.
And taking a look at the weather for the Moscow-Pullman area, mostly clear tonight, low 44, west winds 10 to 15, becoming light after midnight, gusts up to 25. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 74, increasing clouds Thursday night, low 47, 30% chance of showers Friday, mainly afternoon, mostly cloudy, high 63. Looking into the weekend, looks like some showers. 40% chance of showers Friday night, mainly before midnight, mostly cloudy, low 38. West winds 10, gusts up to 20. 50% chance of showers on Saturday, but partly sunny, high 59. 60% chance of showers Saturday night, mainly before midnight, mostly cloudy, low 41. And a 50% chance of showers Sunday, mostly cloudy, high 61. Current temperature is 75 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option. And there's a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. David Katz assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. We'll have an episode of Noise Filter, and then at the bottom of the hour, Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, Lockdown Mosh Pit. At 8:30, music begins in earnest with Grateful Dead Through the Decades with Arlene. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Palouse Prairie Charter School, an EL Education accredited expeditionary learning model school serving students in northern Idaho. PPCS is a free public charter school that combines hands-on learning, rigorous academics, outdoor adventure, and character development. PalouseProairieSchool.org. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by